A genius has a large source. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. A genius has a large source. Think about it. Do you have a large source? Are you something very, very special? Are you something very, very wonderful? Well, you are really, and we all are. And we all have a very large source. We're all a genius. Some people want to affect themselves as a genius and live as a genius, and others don't. And it's all a matter of what we think of as who we are. Now, I point out to people, and I say, now, if you go around calling yourself a prince or a princess, and you start acting like a prince or a princess, people are going to expect you to be a prince or a princess. Now, you say, is that all it takes? Yes, that's all it takes. If you go around acting like a prince or a princess, people will expect you to be a prince or a princess. And they'll expect you to be a prince or a princess because you're acting like a prince or a princess. Now, how does a prince or a princess act? Well, just pretend that a prince has walked into the room. Now, what is this prince going to do? You say, well, that's sort of archaic, that princes and princesses have gone out of style and so forth. Well, really, they haven't gone out of style. It's just that we haven't awakened to the fact that they never did go out of style, and they always are in style. If the Queen Mother of England were to walk into a room, everyone in the room would sense her presence, whether they knew her or not, whether they recognized her or not. She has a charisma within her. She has a built-in beingness about her that shines forth and shows who she is. You and I have that ability to have a built-in beingness to shine forth who we believe we are. Now, who do you believe you are? Who do I believe I am? And whoever it is that we believe that we are shines out so graphically, so beautifully, so wonderfully that everybody in our world knows precisely who we are by how we respond to life. It's true. It's very true. When a little boy walks into the room and he's a gentleman and a well-brought-up child, if he's well-behaved, if he has been trained to do the things that are the right thing to do when you walk into a room of people, then people will respect him and admire him. When a child walks into a room and acts unkind to the people who are there and acts discourteous to the people and is not a good reflection of what his parents would like him to be, then no one knows what that child is. They call that child a bad little child. That's a prince? If that's a prince, I don't want princes at all. If that's somebody of a royal family, boy, what kind of a royal family is that? Well, this is how life is. How many children do you know who are glorious and beautiful children? Well, if you are a glorious and beautiful person yourself, you will say, every child I've met is a glorious and beautiful child. And every child that comes into my world is a glorious and beautiful child because I am a glorious and beautiful being. And I can only see glorious and beautiful beings in my world because that is who I am. And they are my reflection and I am their reflection. So, do you think that's possible? Do you think that that's possible, that a genius has a larger source to draw upon, the source of an inner wisdom, the source of an inner charisma, the source of an inner joy, abundance, magic? Yes. And that inner source is something that's drawn upon by choice. Now, every mother and father is always amused and amazed when the neighbors come over to their house and say to them, "Your son and daughter were visiting, and they are the most beautiful children you could want. I just wish my children were so well behaved as your children are." And you, in your mind, you say, "My children are well behaved? I have so much more I want them to know. I have so much more I want them to learn. I have so much more in training that I'd like to give to them." Oh, my. And you say, "My children are wonderful." You don't say that to them. You say that to yourself, because you know that there is a greater ability, the greater possibility lay within that child and within you from that an absolute source that each one of us has access to. And we have the ability to use it. And each of us know we are using just such a small portion of it. Each of us know that this great source is there and we are using it, but we're only using such a small portion of it. We say, "Oh, if my child only were as good as my neighbors think they are, if they could only be as good at home as they are away from home." Well, they are good at home. But because we are the teacher, because we are the sharer, because we are the parent, we look at our family, we look at our children, we look at our world, and we see how it can be so much better. We see, it reminds me of the Japanese and Chinese artisans. They love to make things absolutely perfect. And they, for centuries, have made things absolutely perfect. They will put not one coat of lacquer on a given object, but 100 coats. And the object is insignificant in itself, but with each coat of lacquer they put on it, the object becomes more and more significant. With each blessing that they give it, with each rubbing that they do to it, with each coat of varnish or shellac or lacquer of whatever kind they put onto it, or how they wax it, or how they polish it, or how they make it glow, each coat makes it more and more precious. It's not that it wasn't always precious, but each coat makes its quality of being precious all the more visible. And so it is, each time we practice being our divine self, each time we let our charisma be so magnificent that when we walk into a room, people just readily know that we are someone special. Not because we're superior to them, not because we put them down, not because we act in a haughty way, but rather because we are ourselves. And we are wonderful. I saw a young boy go on stage, and he was going before a group in a mobile home park. And this young boy was 10, 12 years old, and he was a musician, a violinist, and he played the violin quite nicely. Well, he came to this group to play for them, and it wasn't a large group, maybe about 20 to 40 people there, and they were all sitting around having a cup of coffee and listening to this young man as he got up to perform. And before he got up, couldn't tell him from anybody else in the group. The other children who were there were just sitting there quietly and lovingly. And this boy got up, and he had on a suit and tie that set him apart a little bit from the rest of the group. And he stood up on the platform, and he picked up his violin and his bow, and he positioned it, and he began to play. And the moment his bow touched the strings of his violin, the audience was spellbound. Not because he played so well or so magnificently, or not because he had anything new, the song was one that they hadn't heard before. No, it was because this boy was in love with his violin. He was in love with the music that he had in his repertoire, that he had in his memory. He was in love with what he was doing. And he was not performing, he was playing his violin to his own enjoyment. And he entered into it with his heart and soul. And everyone in the audience immediately entered into it with him. Whatever they thought they were doing, they stopped. Their cup of coffee was held in midair. Their little sweet roll was sitting half cut on their plate with their fork into it, but they didn't think of bringing it to their mouth. They were spellbound by the magic of this young man who believed, who was himself. And he was so spectacular that the more he played, the more they wanted him to play. And the word encore was so proper in his presence. He was just an encore himself. He was just one glorious musical selection after another. And he played them with skill, with precision, with joy, with magic. And his audience, indeed, was spellbound. It's not that he was a great musician. It's not that he was a great man of music, that he was he was only 12, 13 years old, whatever. He was just a young man. And he was learning his trade. But he learned the true art of his trade. And the true art was he was in love with his musical instrument and with the music that he performed. And he gave that love ears, he gave that love sound, he gave that love magic, he gave that love a resounding bit, and everyone in his audience listened profoundly. And these were people who were not used to hearing violin music and becoming enchanted with it. But they came over because it was something to do in the evening, and it was something going on in the clubhouse, and this young man was there, and he was in their park and their world, and it was free. And so he came, they came, and they expected to have just a little casual entertainment. And little did they know that they were to enter into the very spirit of a young man, a spirit of a musical instrument, the spirit of the music that was played. Yes, my friends, a genius has a large repertoire, a large source, and you and I are a genius as we draw upon the repertoire of our own inner being, as we draw upon that magic that we are, as we draw upon what it is that turns us on. And you can be sure whatever turns us on, if we are really turned on in mind, spirit, and body, we will have a charisma that shouts out from our very soul in a very wonderful way, "Hey, I'm me, and I'm wonderful." And we will say, "What a prince. What a princess. What a glorious queen. What a glorious being. And we won't even know these words as we say them, because they will be a reflection of us in our heart. For we see in our outer who we are in our inner. And let us know that at all times we see in the outer. The magic of a musician who loves his music, who loves his instrument, who loves himself. And these are things that come naturally to each of us. You may not have your violin to play, but how do you carry your body? How do you carry your thoughts? What thoughts do you think about? How do you carry your attitude? How do you respond to your world? Are you like a queen walking into a room, unknown by the people, but instantly known as someone very special? Are you like this young boy who wore his suit and tie, so contrary to everybody else, even his parents, and as he got up on the stage, he still looked a little awkward, a little strange, but the moment he took his violin and he began to play, the magic of who he was shouted out to the world that said, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. I love this music. I love my violin. I love it. And everyone else was enchanted. You can be enchanted in yourself if you wish. I know I am. Have a lovely day and know I love you eternally.